So, all right. My homie's pulling up.
Homie's pulling up.
Yes.
We got him queued up, and he was in the chat. He said, yo, I'm in the waiting room. I said, oh, my God, I spaced on it. My bad, Alex.
Not a problem. Up.
Alex, you are on with Tim Ross.
What's up, my guy?
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, bro. All is well?
All is well. That was weird because I was watching the live, and then I guess it's a few seconds behind. So.
No, it's all good, bro.
I heard you talking, and then you were saying what up to me, so you caught me off guard.
No, it's all good, man. It's so good to see your face, bro. How's everything going?
Likewise, it's going well. We're doing a lot of really exciting things with the movement that I'm really excited to share with you and your audience. But yeah, man, I miss you guys.
I miss you too, man. It's so good to see your face. So let me give a proper introduction. Alex Efron is a genius in the world of advertising, in the world of marketing and brand management and a host of other things. I would definitely call him a multi-hyphenate. And we had a conversation a few weeks back about something that he just felt really impassioned and burdened to do. And it required him being vulnerable about his own journey. And it's this specific niche that is not discussed a lot.
No, it'll take him.
But it's something that I really believe is going to help a lot of people, because they don't have to be going through the exact same thing to get the exact same breakthrough. So, Alex, why don't you tell us what it was? First of all, what even made you do it? I know that this is personal to you, but I just want you to give the audience a full context to it.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate that, Tim. And first, want to thank you so much. Thank you and the team. Hector, Derek, I know you guys can hear me in the back. Really appreciate you guys having me on. This really means a lot. And so, you know, with everything you just mentioned, Tim, I have been in the world of collecting, if you will, for the better part of my adulthood. I grew up, you know, in the 90s. So things like Pokemon and the Chicago Bulls era, with Michael Jordan and his greatness and everything that came with that, with collecting basketball cards and memorabilia, has always been rooted in my DNA. So when I got a bit older, I started to collect sneakers, and sneakers turned into memorabilia, and memorabilia turned into sports cards, amongst other things. And so the world of collecting in general in today's society, especially, you know, here in the States, it's just, it's so massive, and it's evolved way beyond, you know, the traditional collecting of baseball cards and Pokemon cards and things like that. So
yeah,
whether it's sneakers or luxury goods, handbags, digital collectibles, NFTs, even with gaming, you know, you have your in-game skins and cosmetics,
yep,
that these kids are spending lucrative amount of money on.
Yep.
You know, there's a shared culture across all of these different verticals around chasing, flipping, flexing, and finding that next big hit, that next big item that, you know, you want to share with your social following. And for a lot of people, especially with sports cards, that chase has turned into something that looks a lot like gambling. And, you know, most people outside of these hobbies don't realize how intense it has gotten. There's this thing called breaking. Basically, what it is, it's live streamed pack and box openings where people buy in for a shot at the contents of the box. And you're watching someone else rip the product you paid for. This is sports card specifically, mm-hmm, hoping your name gets called when the big card comes out. You know, the environment, it's fast, it's loud, it's full of suspense, and it taps into the same dopamine centers that blackjack and sports betting and even things like day trading tap into. And here's where it sort of gets confusing and tricky. Unlike a casino, there are no posted odds. There are no guardrails. There's no stepping in to slow you down. Mm-hmm. It's all about hype, hope, and FOMO. FOMO is a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. And the prices of these items, the prices of these boxes have become so lucrative, $700 a box, $1,000 a box, $2,000 a box, that you could spend and walk away with $40 in cards. And you see these viral clips of somebody hitting what they call a nuke. So basically like a big hit, and suddenly you're itching to chase on your own. And even though you have no real chance of, you know, breaking even, you're still on the horse. You're still trying to scratch that itch and get that dopamine hit, right?
Yeah.
And what's hot today is forgotten tomorrow. So there's always something new and fresh that's coming out. And so with all of that being said, that's where, or what I should say, led me to this movement that I started about a month ago. And that movement is called Collectors MD. For short, it's CMD. And it's a support-based platform for people navigating the emotional and financial toll of collecting, especially those that are caught in cycles they can't seem to break. So it's not anti-hobby at all. I still personally love the hobby. I love collecting. But it's about helping people engage with it in a healthier and more intentional way.
Yep.
And honestly, a big part of, you know, the heart behind it came from my time working with you. And, you know, during our time working together at B-Side, you would always say something that, you know, always stuck with me. And that is, everyone deserves to be fully seen, fully heard, fully known, and fully loved. And, you know, you don't just say that. That's something you live every day. And you create a space for people to show up as they are, no yes, masks, sir. No ego.
Yep.
And that really shaped how I think about this community. So with Collectors MD, that's what I'm trying to create, a space where people in this hobby don't have to pretend, you know, that everything's okay, where they can be honest about the hard stuff, where they can be seen and supported without shame. Because if, you know, we're going to stay in these hobbies, many of us want to, we just have to find a way to do it without completely losing ourselves.
Yeah, man. Bro, I so appreciate the vulnerability of you sharing this, because I was talking with my best friend yesterday. Obviously, the NFL draft was yesterday. I had on my Raiders jersey. I mean, my Raiders jacket, because, you know, we had the number 6 pick. And we were talking about how disheartened I am that all of the major sports leagues have now collaborated with betting and gaming, right?
Yep.
And
it's in your face all day, every day.
It's right in your face every day. So now, because these sports leagues who had historically banned gambling and betting, would never partner with them, now that they've come together, it has normalized gambling. To where ESPN, some of their shows are just insider information on the gambling itself, yep. and the point spreads, right? It's on the bottom lower third, ticking across, like encouraging people to bet. And then after the game, they have the nerve to put up a gambling disclaimer that says, if you are an addict, please dial this number.
If you... or you know somebody who has a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And that's a part of their corporate responsibility.
Right? Of course.
It's a part of the corporate responsibility of DraftKings and FanDuel and Caesars and all these other conglomerates of,
yep.
of casinos and sports books that have to create messaging to provide their consumers, their customers,
yep.
with a safety net, with the resources that are required for people that, you know, have the, could run into the risk of spiraling out of control.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be, you know, a fully responsible adult.
Correct.
Addiction is a real thing.
Absolutely.
And it affects more than just alcoholics and drug addicts. And none of that exists in terms of like the security blanket, the resources, the tools that are necessary to get that help. None of that exists in any of these hobbies within the collecting world. And so that's where Collectors MD comes into the mix.
I'm so grateful that you've done it and that you've created this space, because again, we can't be fully seen, fully heard, fully known, fully loved if we don't continue to create spaces for communities to grow and evolve that are dealing with the same thing. Like, you gotta have somebody that you can look in the eyeball that can identify with you, right? Like,
100%.
And you creating this space allows that to happen. I wanna deal with the nuances of this, because a lot of people think gambling and they're only thinking about, like, hey, I'm betting on the Lakers versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Let's get down to the micro level. There are, and I want you to break it down specifically with the cards and with the memorabilia. But I was talking to my best friend yesterday, and we were talking about the fact that they bet on a player's shoes, like the shoe color that they will wear. That if they have 8 colorways, they will literally bet, like, I think Luka will wear the pinkies tonight. Or I think LeBron will wear his green shoes tonight. Like, this doesn't even have to deal with the outcome of the game. There's all these little micro bets within the overall betting of the game itself. I think Austin Reeves will.
Yeah, it's crazy. Think of the Super Bowl. People are betting on the color of the Gatorade that's coming out at the end of the game. People are betting on the coin toss. People are betting on how long the national anthem is going to be.
All these
prop bets is what they call them, is what people are losing their minds over. But that, again, that's traditional gambling. It's regulated. There's a gaming commission. They're looking over to make sure that these things, these bets, all of this money that is coming in and out is happening fairly, right? With sports cards, with TCG. TCG is Pokemon, I guess, trading card game is what it stands for.
Okay.
It's the Wild West. None of that exists. Mm. And so here's the thing. People outside of the hobby don't understand. They can't fully comprehend the intensity of what, again, sports card breaking has become. And when you really break it down, it actually shares a lot of similarities. There's so many synergies with traditional sports betting and with casino games like blackjack and roulette. But also there are a few key differences that make it a lot riskier in a lot of different ways. So with sports betting, it's pretty straightforward. You pick a game, you place a bet, and you know the odds going in, whether that's win or loss. You're either cashing out or you're not. And it can be addictive for sure, but at least you know the stakes.
Right.
At least you know when you sit down at a blackjack table, there's a 50-50 chance of you winning.
Yep.
And I'm not endorsing gambling. I'm not saying that that's the safer option.
Of course.
I'm just stating facts.
And you're also saying that it's regulated. You're also saying that at least that's regulated.
It's regulated.
Right.
Sports card, sports book are required to show you the odds, the over, the under, the payouts, all of that.
Right.
With breaking, it's a lot more of a gray area. It's a lot murkier. You're buying into a box or a case of sports cards, usually through a live stream, and hoping whatever comes out of those packs ends up in your spot. And that might be a random team, a specific player, or even just like the left or right side of the box. And the problem is you have no idea what's inside of that box. There are no posted odds. There's no transparency. You're trusting a breaker, so like the sports card shop, that they didn't already pull the best cards out of that particular case, or that, you know, you're not just getting the leftover scraps from a dead run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where it gets tricky in breaking, it's not win or lose. It's win, lose, or lose really badly, right? You can spend $200, $500, even $1,000 into one break and end up walking away with $5 worth of cards, like I said before.
Yep.
And yet people keep chasing because they saw someone hit a $20,000 card the night before on the same exact stream. So it's that same sort of slot machine energy.
Yep.
Plus all of this social pressure, the hype in the chat, the "your next bro" comments.
Yep.
It's not just gambling. It's gambling with the crowd watching. And again, at least with sports betting, you're choosing an outcome based on stats, matchups, logic. With breaking, you're buying a sealed box and praying that your name gets called when that one big hit comes out. And if it doesn't, you're walking away with a bunch of base cards that you couldn't sell for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're both risky, but again, with breaking, you know, it's basically gambling with no rule book. So no odds, no oversight, no real way to know if you're being taken advantage of or you're just, you know, unlucky. And yeah, that's why it's so easy to spiral, because the whole thing feels like it's fun.
Yeah.
Right. You feel like you're participating in a nostalgic hobby that you've been a part of your whole life.
Yep.
Until it isn't, until your bank account is empty and, you know, you have a significant other spouse that is mad at you
for right.
spending, you know, this month's mortgage payment on cardboard.
Right. Man. Okay. So I want to get into another nuance here. You talked about actual gaming, right? You got these
right.
these microtransactions that happen within a game, right? I'm a gamer, right? So take a game like 2K, right? Basketball.
Yep.
Or take a game like Fortnite. There's a reason why Fortnite can get Katy Perry into the game. There's a reason why Fortnite can get Snoop Dogg into the game, wrestlers into the game. The game is actually free. You can actually download Fortnite and play it for free. Where they have sure. made multiplied millions of dollars is through this very subtle, but to me it feels like a gateway drug into the same type of addiction that you're talking about. You're gonna buy a pack. Hopefully you get this rare skin that's only coming yeah. out in this season. And if you have it and if you're running around with your avatar through the game, then you are somehow the guy, that the kid that got the Willy Wonka ticket, right?
Yeah.
You look at the
same rules apply.
Yeah, the microcurrency in 2K basketball. You get a player, but then you got to build that player up, and some of these guys have invested $4,000, $6,000, $7,000 into like they bought the game for $69.99, but then they spent $7,000 on maxing out their basketball player in the freaking game.
And does it even carry over to the next year? Does it carry over to like NBA 2K?
No.
So you have to do it all over again.
You got
to
do it all over again.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. And you know what, Tim, as we continue to evolve as a society and people are so focused on social media and their virtual avatar, if you will, as we adapt to a more virtual reality, this is only going to become more and more of a problem where people are just so focused on their aesthetic, their digital avatar and wow. what they look like in this virtual world, right? Whether that be through gaming, whether that be through the metaverse or whatever universe these tech companies are working on, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah,
think about what this landscape is going to look like 10 years from now, right?
Yeah.
So it's a part of culture in so many different facets, and there are people that, you know, if you really just break it down and make it black and white, it's spending, it's overspending, it's retail therapy, it's overextending yourself, it's whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
And there is no anonymous group, like, you know,
yeah.
there's AA, there's Narcotics Anonymous, there's Gamblers Anonymous. None of this exists for collecting, for spending. So what we're trying to do is not necessarily create another, you know, anonymous program, like 12-step program, but just create a safe space that people can turn to.
Yep.
And know that they're not alone.
For sure.
And that, you know, if they need help, it's okay. It's okay to be vulnerable, to come in and say, I have a problem, I want to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where we come in, you know, to help fix this together. And we're not licensed therapists, we're not doctors.
Yep.
But what I am is somebody who has lived through it,
yep.
has experienced, you know, the ups and downs of collecting, and can speak firsthand of what that experience has done to me, the toll it's taken on me and my health, my mental health, my family, and ways to overcome it.
Absolutely. Man, I want everybody who is listening to this, if you can be self-aware and honest enough to admit that you do struggle with gambling, risky spending, the dopamine shot of what it is to purchase a new bag, to open a new deck of cards, to make that micro transaction within a gaming platform. Listen, whether that is 2K or whether that's Candy Crush, right? You're paying for more coins to level up or to break through a level or whatever. Like, Alex Efron has stepped into the light with his own story. Not like, hey, I want to help people that are doing this because it's crazy. It's like, hey, it was me. I have a personal story. He's created a whole website. The movement is called Collectors MD, CMD for short. He releases blogs that are very transparent and vulnerable. He also has other people within the collective that have joined that are now sharing their stories as well. If it's you or if it's someone that you know and someone that you love, I want you to take advantage of the resources that are available to you. Alex is a friend of ours. We've worked with him. He wouldn't be doing this if he wasn't passionate about it. Alex, thank you so much for taking the time to like bring this to the forefront and to the light. You already know we got your back and you're going to help a lot of people. And I appreciate you leading this movement.
I appreciate that, Sam. Truly, it means the world. If you want to learn more about Collectors MD, you can follow us on Instagram at Collectors MD. You could also check out the website that we dropped in the chat. It's collectorsmd.com. There you can find all the tools and resources you need. We're going to be hosting our first support meeting, which is going to be a virtual meeting on Google Hangouts this coming Wednesday.
Awesome.
At 8, I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern, and that's this coming Wednesday, April 30th. And if you want to be involved in any capacity, join the meeting, or just have a conversation, please don't hesitate to reach out. And Tim, thank you again so much for your support, your guidance, and for, you know, honestly showing me the light.
Man, I love you, Alex, and I'm so proud of you. We are behind you, and I'm so glad we got the link in there. Next Wednesday is the first virtual meeting. Again, if it's you or somebody that you love, strongly encourage them to be a part of it. If it's you individually, be brave enough to step into the light. We heal in group. We do not heal by ourselves. You can make 1,000 resolutions as, this is my last break. This is the last time I spend like this. I'm not going to do this anymore. You need accountability. You need people to walk with you, and you need support. So please take advantage of the resources that are available to you, and you are going to be living your best life very soon. Alex, I love you, bro.
Yes, sir. Love you too, man. Okay. Appreciate you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
All right. Peace. Yo. Peace. Yo. Yo.
Fully seen, fully heard, fully known, even if you're not agreed with. Huh?
That's how we want communities to spawn.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, get all the gamblers over here. Get all the porn addicts over here. Get all the low self-esteem people over here. Let's help each other. Like, that's, we're not going to hold each other down. We're going to build each other up.
Yeah.
But you, again, you only heal in group and you only heal in community. Nobody's healing by themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not going to do it.
A small little thing, Tim, if I may. As a parent, like, kids be playing Roblox too. My kids, and they're grooming the younger generation to these microtransactions is not being seen. Like, so I have to monitor my children. Joanne and I monitor our kids on how they purchase and how they buy things, and it's kind of rewarded based. But I see how there's kids that they compare themselves to that parents throw bread at these games so that they can level up, and then it grows their virtual like stance in how they play their games. And so it's like, I see that portion of it too.
Oh, bro.
Their social status in the game.
Correct. That's right.
And it satisfies something that they don't have in real life.
That's exactly right.
That's where it gets dangerous.
That's what, bro. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my sons have come to me like, Dad, can I have $10 so I can get Robux? and then can I get V-Bucks on Fortnite?
Yep.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, I want to get this new skin. I'm like,
real money for fake money,
bro. We've gotten Venmos and Cash Apps from the grandparents. Like, oh, this is for, you know what I'm saying? Be like, hey, wait, hold up.
And it, all it is a gamified break, which is the same thing Alex is talking about.
Right.
And it's like, will I get that rare skin? Will I, when I open up this up, will that, the skin of the gun don't make you shoot. Mm. The gun don't, it don't help you play better.
Reach that dude. Now he's going to go reach thousands. Amen. I'm good.
Why are you kidding me?
I'm good.
Check the box.
Motives.
Right? Like, that's a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That
was awesome. Hey, today's segment is this is what we doing. And this is what we doing.
This is what we doing. This is what we doing, for sure.